Well, today is our first Sunday in our focus this month on the sacred feminine. Bless you. And it's in honor of Mother's Day being in May. But what I'd like us to consider and invite you all to consider all this month is this: that the presence of God, in its abstract, undifferentiated, infinite potential, is the holy womb of life. It is the sacred soul of the universe, out of which infinite divine ideas come forth into the light of awareness. The sacred feminine is the creative, sacred substance in which we live and move and have our being, and out of which all of life comes forth into form and expression everywhere, including right here as all of us. It is Mother Nature expressing in her boundless fertility and her unlimited ability to bring forth new life and rebirth. And it is the force of nature that is nurturing and protective. And so we'll be considering the sacred feminine as the mother love that flows through every creature, as that holy desire to nurture and protect. And we'll be looking at the sacred feminine in all of us, men and women, because we believe that we are one with God and God is not fragmented, and we believe that we are one with life and not separate. And so what we'll be doing is acknowledging and recognizing that feminine energy that is in every being, whether that form is male or female. So if you happen to be in a physical form this morning that's a he, we're going to be acknowledging the she that is also present within you. And this has nothing to do with this new runway phenomenon, gowns for guys. And it has nothing to do with the mantyhose that was just in on the news. Am I the only one who reads the headlines? This is about the sacred feminine that exists and lives and moves within each being. Now, last week when it was announced that the sacred feminine would be the theme for the month, Judy Freiheit shared a wonderful story with me about her granddaughter, and she said that I could share it with all of you. Judy's granddaughter, Juliana, who is 10 years old now, has always gone to Catholic school. And when she was about 5 years old, her mother, Amy, came to pick her up. And as they were walking home together, Juliana began asking all about God. And she was shooting off questions as only a five-year-old can. And so she said to her mother, "Is God in the grass?" And her mother said, "Yes." "Is God in the trees?" Her mom said, "Yes." Juliana looked around. "Does God take care of all the flowers and all the animals?" And she said, "Yes." Juliana looked up and said, "Is God in the sky?" And she said, "Yes, there too." "Then what you're saying is God is everywhere?" And her mom said, "Yes, everywhere." And Juliana shook her head and said, "She sure is busy." Not long after that, when Amy came to school to pick up Juliana, Juliana's teacher, who may have been a nun, we're not sure, was standing with Juliana waiting for Amy. And as Amy approached, her teacher said, "Did you know that your daughter thinks that God is a she?" And Amy went, "Mm-hmm." And the teacher said, "Okay, just as long as you know. And she smiled and walked off. See, often when we talk about God, we use the masculine pronoun he. And that can give us a sense, even though we may not believe anymore that God is a big man in the sky, we might still get the sense that the presence of God is a solely masculine energy. But anyone who has ever walked through a forest and felt the primordial life force, anyone who has ever put their hands in the soil of a garden and felt the holy vibration of fertility, anyone who has ever felt the urge to create coming up from deep within their soul, and anyone who has ever been engulfed in the love of a mother's arms has felt the sacred feminine that is also the presence of God. When we talk about God in New Thought and in metaphysics, when we say he, we're talking about that I am that knows itself. The creator that has said, let there be light. We are recognizing and acknowledging the infinite ideas in the one divine mind that have been present and the only reality since the beginning. And so, we're seeking to describe concepts and ideas that allow us to see things in our mind and allow a light to come to our awareness for our understanding. We describe as best we can what God must be. In other words, we are attempting to put into words that which is beyond words. And so, when we talk about the he, we're talking about the manifested presence. See, the moment before we get an aha that comes to our conscious mind and we go, wow, right before that moment when a new spiritual idea comes into our awareness and we can recognize it and define it, it's been within us in that sacred unknown. It's been there as spiritual potential. It's been there as a possibility of divine knowing. And then all of a sudden it comes forth from the darkness and into the light of our conscious awareness as an aha. It's like the old cartoons, you know, when the character got an idea and then a light bulb went off over his head. See, light in most sacred teachings is considered masculine, that which is manifest. And the sacred feminine is that which contains the depth and breadth of all that is awaiting our discovery and our bringing it forth to light. The sacred womb has been impregnated and infused with infinite divine ideas that are simply waiting for us to discover them, to bring them to light, and to give them birth as our life, as who we are and what we express in life, whether we are a man or a woman. How many of you are familiar with the Chinese symbol, the yin-yang? Yeah? The fish-like shapes, one is black and one is white. Well, then you know that those shapes are balanced. And the circle represents everything, while the shapes within represent the interaction of the yin-yang energies that make everything happen. And so the white, the yang, the white or light, is masculine. That which is considered manifest, evident, readily perceived by the eye or the understanding. And the black, the darkness, the yin, is considered the unknown, the hidden. Now, in Asian philosophy, these two energies, the yin-yang, are not considered opposing forces, as in duality, but as complementing and interacting with each other in the magnificent dynamics of the creative process. And that's the way that the masculine and feminine are viewed in New Thought. In The Science of Mind, in Chapter 3, in the section on definition of spirit, we read that spirit is the Father, Mother God, because it is the principle of unity, back of all things. The masculine and the feminine both come from the one. And so we'll be considering that feminine energy within all of us. We won't be dividing ourselves up into this and that as in duality, because the masculine and feminine both come from the one, and the one is in every one of us. It doesn't matter if we're a man or a woman. And so we're going to be acknowledging those things. Because even if it's fun sometimes to pretend that women are from Venus and men are from Mars, that sort of man-woman separation doesn't give us that sense of the complementing and that interaction that makes for the oneness of life. It's like the Spanish teacher who was explaining to her first year college Spanish class that in Spanish, unlike English, nouns are designated as either masculine or feminine. For instance, house is feminine, la casa, and pencil is masculine, el lápiz. So one of the students raised a hand and said, "What is a computer?" And rather than her giving the answer, she divided up the class into two groups, the males and the females, and asked them to come up with what they thought was the answer, whether a computer should be considered a masculine or feminine noun. And both groups were asked to give four reasons for their recommendations. The men's group decided that computer should definitely be of the feminine gender, la computadora. Because no one but their creator understands their internal logic. The native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to everyone else. Even the smallest mistakes are stored in long-term memory for possible later retrieval. And as soon as you make a commitment to one, you find yourself spending all your money on accessories for it. The women's group, however, concluded that computers should be masculine, el computador, because in order to do anything with them, you have to turn them on. They have a lot of data, but still can't think for themselves. They are supposed to help you solve problems, but half the time they are the problem. And as soon as you commit to one, you realize that if you had waited a little longer, you could have gotten a better model. But I'm not going to tell you who won, because we're not going to be doing that sort of thing here at the Life Enrichment Center. We are going to be talking about how these two energies, the masculine and the feminine, interact within each individual And so for the next 2 months, for this month, we're going to be talking about the sacred feminine in men as well as women. And in June, we're going to be talking about the divine masculine in women as well as men. And we're going to be looking at how this balance of energy expresses itself as the law or principle of our very being, and how it expresses as our true nature. How within us individually, it allows us to express ourselves, and also how it complements and interacts in the world as a whole. And so we'll be looking at that balance of life that is in all of us, because the teachings of New Thought are all about our bringing about from the invisible potential of our true spiritual nature a visible and practical self-expression that we can use in the world, that we can use to expand and enrich our life here and now. New thoughts come to us when we empty our mind of all we think we know, and we listen with our heart. In 2 Corinthians in 4:6, in the Aramaic Bible, we read, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts so that we may be enlightened with the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Christ." So I'd like to invite us all this morning for just a moment to just turn within to that presence that is so beautiful and balanced within us. And to know that in the deepness of our being, there is a place that seems like darkness, but is filled with love. It is that nurturing, protective energy that desires only good, that would bring about only good. And it is that place within us that contains all that we are forever and ever. Let us clear our minds for just a moment and listen with our heart. For something new, a light that informs us of something else, something greater about ourselves. And let us relax in that love, in that maternal love that is deep within us, that is the soul in which we rest, that holds us ever in protective light. When you're ready, open your eyes. We sang this morning, God's love is deep within me, ever satisfying my soul. There is no end to the depth of our soul. In the Science of Mind, in chapter 4, in the section on law, we read it is impossible to plumb the depths of the individual mind because it is not really individual, but individualized. Behind or within the individual point, which is each of us, is the universal, which has no limits. And in this concept alone lies the possibility of an endless and eternal expansion. So I invite all of us, as a spiritual practice this week, to get in touch with your feminine side. That place within you that is the holy substance of your being, that contains unlimited possibilities for your self-expression. To take time each day to empty your mind of all that you know and all that you think is so. And listen with your heart. And let the holiness of the Christ light give you a new thought about your true self. And then throughout the week, let yourself feel the primordial life force that fills all space. And let yourself resonate with the holy fertility that is in everything. And open yourself up to the creativity that desires to give birth through you. Because if you do, you will no longer doubt that God is all there is. That God is everywhere and God is in everything, and she sure is busy. Namaste.